Well, good morning. Lovely to see everyone today. This is slightly different service in that we don't just have one speaker. We have three people taking part today. And this morning, we are going to continue on thinking about the Bible and reading the Bible for ourselves. And last week, Dick was really very helpful to us in showing us what a life-changing book the Bible can be. He spoke last week about Rose coming to faith, and actually, if you had been at the communion service this morning, Rose spoke herself about coming to faith and how God's word had completely changed her life around. So we're going to be thinking about that during the service, but first of all, I wanted to have a wee word with the children. Right. Well, I have been doing a wee bit of clearing out. I don't do it very often, but I was into the box with photographs in it. You youngsters probably don't have many photos because they're all in your phones, but we have boxes and boxes and boxes of photos in our house, usually ones that should have been thrown out because they're all blurry and the kids are, and you don't look good in them either, so they should have probably been thrown out. But in amongst all these photos, I came across this. Now, I realised that a lot of people won't know what this is, and it is called an aerogram. And they were last produced about 10 years ago. You cannot buy them in the post offices anymore. But if you had a friend or a family member abroad, you often went to the post office and you bought an airmail letter, an aerogram, and you wrote on it. And then you folded it all up and it became like a letter. And then sometimes they had stamps stuck on them and sometimes they had stamps embossed on them. But they were to help you keep in touch with whoever was abroad. Well, many years ago, I did work abroad and I used these aerograms a lot. It was a country called Kenya. And it was really, really important to me that I kept in touch with my family and with my friends because it was so remote. There was no phones, there was no mobile phones, there was no email, and this was it. There was one person in particular I was very keen to keep in touch with and to hear from. His name was Douglas Robertson. Why did I want to hear from him, you might ask? Well, he actually had come out to visit me, and we were going to get married when I came home. So I was really desperate to hear from him. He would write me news, he'd give me some advice, I'd give him some advice too, but he would give me some advice. He'd encourage me, he would remind me that he loved me. And he'd write about our future plans together, things that we were going to do when I came home and when we would be together. And you know, there was maybe even an occasional poem. All these words kept our relationship alive, going backwards and forwards in these aerograms. And even though we were apart for this time, it kept our relationship alive. Well, you know, God, our Heavenly Father, has not just written us a letter, but he's actually written us a whole book. I've actually handed mine to Lisa just now. I was going to show it, but I forgot. Here it is. Yes, I have got my book, this Bible that God has given to me. And through it, we can learn all these things. We will learn that we are greatly loved and special to him. We will learn about caring for our lovely earth and about how to treat people and how to behave in certain situations and what our future will be. God isn't just concerned about us here now, but there is a future for us, a wonderful future. And you know what? It even contains poems. This is the best book that we could ever read. Now, I wonder if you kids could think back to Sunday school. And I remember a lot of you getting really lovely prizes. I think some of you got Bibles, and some of you got Bible story books, and some of you got other books. And I remember Joanne saying at the prize giving, try and read a wee bit from your book every day. Get into that habit of reading a wee bit, and then it will become a habit in your life, and you will be able to learn more about God. God will be able to speak to you. And I think it's really important that we do try, and grown-ups and children try and learn a wee bit from God's word every day. And just like my friendship with Douglas grew and grew and grew to what it is, 40 plus years married now, our relationship with God will grow, and we will be able to know him better through his word and spend time with him.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
I think that is such a beautiful psalm, and you will maybe have noticed that it actually breaks quite readily into two pieces. The first is verses 1-6, and it talks about the beauty of this world that God has placed us in. Its speech is beautiful, but it talks about nature itself being speech and the beautiful creation of our God. His fingerprints are everywhere. I don't find it hard to see God in nature. And I know many people, when they're asked, where do you feel closer to God, often they will say it's out in the countryside or in a mountain. It's not quite like that for me, but I do see the work of a beautiful creator. But there's something lacking when I'm in the countryside. Because do I think, does God love me? Does he care about me? Is he interested in my life? I can see that he's made beautiful surroundings for me to live in, but maybe I need to look a bit deeper to find out where I can find out the answers to these questions that I've thought about. We do have to read God's word, and we do have to look into what it says. We don't want just information or knowledge, but we want God to speak to us and to speak to our hearts. Now, this is what this service is today. It will be a wee bit less conventional than we normally have, because we're going to think about reading the Bible for ourselves. And it, as I said, it's to try and follow on a bit from Dick putting us in place last week. And we have
recruited some friends who will be well known to all of you, who are going to share with us this morning about how they read their Bible. The idea is that it's always good to help, to get help from friends. And I have benefited a lot over the years from people telling me about things they've done or things they've tried or just how they've gone about their reading of the Bible. So I've picked three people, or I've asked three people to come, and they've been very willing to do this, and I'm really pleased. So I'm just going to ask Jamie Pringle to come up and share some of his Bible reading routine with us and see if there's anything in this that you think, oh, might try that.
Good morning. Actor Sean Penn once said, "I'm always frustrated when somebody makes a movie out of a book and they leave the book behind." And for me, sometimes we can apply a similar attitude to our faith. We like what we see. The Sunday school tales, the perfectly worded prayers, or the poetic sermons. And in doing this, we're in danger of leaving the book, the Word of God, behind. I want to encourage you all to live a life beyond the movie-like state of storytelling and begin to unpack the living, Spirit-inspired words of God that He has gifted us in the Bible. To see in action the wonderful master plan for salvation that weaves through each page, and to apply the meaning of scriptures in our life today. Remembering 2 Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. For me personally, I've been on a journey to understand how scripture lives out in my life, and that's all the wisdom I want to share with you today. From a believer in my youth, to a denier and an unbeliever, to a progressive who thought I could live life in relationship with God without the Word of God, and now a believer of Him and in His Word. One thing that always strikes me is the Word of God never changes. Its words challenge, guide, and call us to Him and to be more like Him, in word, in action, and in deed. How do we know this? Because the Bible tells us so. Ever since being called back into relationship with Christ at the age of 28, the Bible has never held more weight for me as it does now, and one I am constantly amazed, challenged, and changed by daily through His Spirit. My daily Bible routine works as a centering for my life at the beginning of each day. Currently, I'm reading through Proverbs, and I continue to be challenged how each verse is as relevant today as when it was written. I want to share three things I find most helpful with you today about how I study His Word. First, I start with general study, a series of prayer, read, pray again, read again, and pray further, and then study, which has usually taken me about 45 minutes to an hour for a chapter of Proverbs. Then I apply the acronym SOAP, which stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And finally, I share what I've learned. My general study follows a navigator's practice of Bible study, and I find it allows me to dig deep into His Word and continually to invite Him in, to open my mind to understand His Word, open my eyes to read and see His plan and purpose in each verse, and open my mouth to speak and live the truth of it. I find this removes my humanly weaknesses for distraction and my lack of understanding, to be replaced by His Spirit to guide me through each word and verse and apply it to my life. Then applying soap is like a literal cleaning of our bodies daily. Deuteronomy 6 tells us to commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. So the first S is Scripture. What scripture or passage of scripture is God guiding you today? Write them down. Pray about them. Speak them over yourself and meditate in His Word. Put them on your walls and apply Deuteronomy 6 and let God in to change you. Second O is for observation. Who are its observations for? Who is it written to, and why is it written? Where and when was it written, and is it descriptive to a people or prescriptive to all people? If it's of the old new, if it's of the Old Testament, how do we apply it in light of Christ? And if it's on the new, if it's from the New Testament, how do we apply it? Full stop. This is a this matters for our understanding and context for how we apply it in our life today. Third, A, apply. When God is calling you to a specific part of Scripture, what area of your life is He shining His light on? Or what part of His life is He calling of your life is He calling out on you? Like the S, pray over it. Submit to God in light of His word and invite Him in. And finally, P, pray. Change doesn't happen overnight, but God has the power too. So submit and pray for understanding to begin to apply these changes from each act of wisdom or insight in your life from that moment, and pray for protection. Don't let the enemy, the devil, distract you, because he will try. Don't let the enemy in. In fact, don't give any ground at all to the enemy, because when you begin to apply the principles of SOAP in your daily walk, you will be shamed in every way. You fail by the enemy, while also being refined in every way to be the person Christ is calling you to be. One is out of hate, one is out of love. 1 Peter 5 tells us, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And never do it alone. Always share your studies, whether over text or a catch-up weekly or whatever works for you. We are always meant to worship and wrestle in community, and reading Scripture is part of that too. So call a friend, text someone, speak to your spouse or other. What are you encouraged by, or what are you struggling with today? And how is God speaking to you today? Tell others, speak about it. We were never meant to study in isolation, but flourish in community. And His word will speak across understanding. And pray for others in this process too, remembering Matthew 5 and the words of Christ, you are the salt of the earth. We Scots, we know we don't like sharing, especially oversharing. But when God shouts your name through Scripture, share and pray with one another. I've never felt more encouraged and challenged simultaneously than I have when I've put in this time in His word before anything else in my day. God wants you to draw close to Him, and His word is a place of discovery and a place to commune with the real and living God through His real and living word. So to finish, I want to just share two quotes with you. American preacher and theologian A. Moeller says, the existence of the Bible means God speaks. It is our responsibility then to study the Bible, to understand its spectacular unfolding of God's plan, to revel in the unfolding story of God's redemption, to apply Scripture's worldview to our lives, and to obey its imperatives. And another, at risk of offending some here today, disagree with the Bible all you want. It's still right, and you're still wrong. May God bless you all today.
Thanks, Jamie. Gather here as a very a group of people, all different, and we're all different personalities. And certainly, when I was listening to Jamie, I thought he's organised, he's on the button. I'm not one of these people that are very organised, and I discovered how disorganised I was this week as I was walking through my kitchen and saw my advent calendar. And I had six doors still to open. So you will work out that I'm probably not that regular about actually, you know, keeping up with things, but I do try to read God's word, and I have found a kind of method for myself, and I'll share that shortly. But first of all, I want to invite one of my very good friends. Mary Smith is going to come up and share a wee bit with her. What side, Mary?
I can only hear out of one ear, so it's this one.
Okay, Mary. Mary and I have known
each other
for a long, long time. And I think she's got something to say. So, Mary, would you like to share with us how reading your Bible has changed your life?
Well, I was 33 when I first opened a Bible. At that time, I was a single parent with two children, and I owned a guest house. And a few months before, we'd received a phone call, would we like Bibles in the guest house? And my father had accepted this offer. And when he told me they were coming, I said, well, you're paying for them. And he said, oh, they're free. And I said, don't be silly. You get nothing for nothing in this life. But the Bibles arrived and they got put round the rooms and they were dusted regularly. Whether any of the guests ever looked into them, I've no idea. And then one particular day, I began thinking, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? And I thought, oh, I must be getting depressed. So what do you do when you're depressed? You clean. You do activities. So I cleaned the guest house. Next day, I even cleaned my car. Still, this heavy, deep thinking carried on. And then I was in the guest house sitting on one of the beds in one of the bedrooms, and I just said, oh, please, God, help me. And I didn't actually realize that was a prayer, because up until that point, I would have told you I didn't believe in God. And when I said, please, God, help me, what I experienced was God saying to me, I love you. Now, he didn't say, I will love you on condition you stop doing that and you give that up and you don't ever do that again. It was just, I love you. And I had never been taught about a God who loved me unconditionally. And who was he? And there was one of these Bibles sitting in front of me. And so I opened it, but I didn't know where to begin. And these Bibles sort of say, you know, do you feel this or do you feel that? Well, I just knew that I'd met God and he loved me and I wanted to know more about him. So I began, there's another story about how I realized how to read the Bible, but I began with the Gospel of John. And it all just made sense because I learned I was never going to be good enough. But I didn't need to be good enough because Jesus was good enough. He had paid the price for me. And in reading that Bible, and do you know that that was 38 years ago? I mean, I can hardly believe it. I still, because I still feel like it was yesterday. And the Bible has continued to be really important to me. I'm not saying I've read it daily for 38 years, but I would say I read it a lot. And now, at different stages in your life, it speaks to you because I'm a different person to the person I was 10 years ago. And so when I read something that I'd read 10 years ago, it speaks differently to me. So now I read the Bible in a year, like Dick, but I've been doing it for a few years and I love it.
This was meant to be a wee interview, but it's so. Just go ahead. Would you, Mary and I have talked about things that we do in for reading the Bible and things that help us, and I also do Bible in a year. For this service, I've done a kind of poll of people, asking people. People have been very kind and told me either, no, I don't read, or I do read, and what I read, and actually a lot of what people read have been two things that come up more and more and more. The Bible in a year, which I thought I would maybe say a wee bit about, and this Lectio, which Mary has also used as well. So Mary, maybe if you say a wee bit about the Lectio and how it helps you, how it works for you, and I'll say a wee bit about Bible in a year.
The only thing about Bible in a year is that I listen to it, and I listen to it when I'm driving or I listen to it when I'm doing the ironing. Lectio is an app that I use, and I listen to that too when I'm driving, although I think you're meant to sit down and sort of do it quietly. But I listen to it when I'm driving, and then I'll listen to the same one again later, and then I will sit down and I will read it on my phone and I will think about it. It's basically what Jamie was saying, but just a different name. Lectio means spiritual reading, I think, or godly reading. And it's about reading a passage and reading it until something strikes you, and then thinking about it, and then praying about it, and then seeing how to apply it to your life. It takes anything between 30 minutes and an hour. And there's also just now, they're doing a Lectio course, which is like 5 sessions to help you do it, to understand what the whole concept is about. And so I do that every day, along with my Bible. But that's because I'm retired and I've got lots of time.
Well, we've always got time, haven't we? We do the odd Sudoku or whatever that we can spare a wee bit of time. I just wanted to say a wee bit about Bible in a year. I showed the kids about my letter from Douglas, and a few years ago I thought, what if in my Bible there are bits I haven't read? I thought I had read it all, but I maybe hadn't read it systematically. But, you know, I thought, well, over all these decades I've been to lots of sermons, I've heard lots of Bible readings, and I do read myself, although I'm not very organised in my reading. And I thought, what if there's something in it that I have not read? I want to know. So I thought, at this time, I need to be serious about reading my Bible right through. I really want to do it. So, of course, I started, and by January the 8th, we were already behind, and that was really sad. I said to my good friend Wendy, I said, I don't think I'm going to do this, and I really feel sad about it. And Wendy looked at me, as she does, as if you're daft, and said, and why do you have to read it in a year? And then I just thought, why do I have to read it in a year? So this Bible is available on an app. Instead of on an app, I bought a book. It's quite a big book, but I thought, what I am going to do is I am going to just do it page by page by page. I will read Monday to Friday. I'll maybe not do it during holidays, but we will just keep on going. And you've no idea the value you get out of a book if you just don't do it every day. This book now is £12, and I must have had about 8 years out of it, so it is an absolute bargain. So I did do that, and 4.5 years later, I finished the Bible in a year, and do you know what? I just loved it. It was great. The author is Nicky Gumbel. He was the pastor of my daughter's church down in London. I had heard him speak. I knew that I liked his style, and so when I got this book, I just found this was for me, and I think Mary did as well. There are stories in it, there are things that are really up to date, and he does update it every year so that there's not old things happening in it, but it has just been such an inspiration to my faith and has encouraged me, and I think both of us would be very happy to share this as a Bible reading idea for you. I will explain, there is a little book stall in the back, and one will be there for you to look at. So Mary, just before you go, would you be able to share with us any Bible verse or something that really speaks to you?
I don't have a favourite Bible verse, but what I do have are 2 memory verses from the Navigator's Bible study that have stayed with me. One we got when we got married on a plaque, and it's from Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will keep your path straight." And I have to say that that is true. It's true in my life. And the other one is from Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Dorothy will be dead pleased with me now.
I'm very conscious of the fact that we are all very different and we're all at very different stages of life. And if we want to feed our souls on God's word, we need to find a pattern that suits us. Anyway, Margot's asked me to share my pattern, as it were, so I'd like to do that now. I'd like to start reading my Bible in the morning before the activities of the day. I found that once I get into the day's activities, the day's happenings, I either forget or I just don't take the time that I need to read the Bible.
I guess as the day goes on, I'm just not disciplined enough just to stop and make myself read. So for me, it works, reading the Bible first thing before the day really gets going. That's different for all of us. That works for me. I also like the freedom of choosing where I'm going to read, which book of the Bible that I'm going to read. I'm reading 1 Corinthians at the moment, and it's a letter I've not read for quite a while, so I'm really enjoying sort of getting into it once again. And I find, because it's quite a lot in 1 Corinthians to think about, that often with my reading, I'll just take one passage or even just a few verses. I'd rather do that and think about it than try and read a lot and then just forget what I've read. So it depends a bit which book of the Bible I'm reading in the time that I give myself on how much I read. And certainly with 1 Corinthians, it's just quite a short reading. I generally like to write something down after I've read. I think it's just because maybe at my stage of life, I so easily forget what I've read. It just goes in and goes out. If I write something down, it helps me to remember. It also, I think, focuses my mind a bit as I'm reading, because I'm thinking, is there something here that I can make a note of for the day? And it may be just a verse that stands out, or a phrase, or it may be just a question that I have as I'm thinking, what does that mean? Or what was meant by that verse, whatever, or something that maybe I need to follow through at some other time. Or it may be just a good thought that's really helpful. If I'm in a hurry, I have several kind of fallback readings. And these are the sort of 5-minute readings if I know I haven't got, for some reason or other, not much time. I've been reading this book called Everyday Bible Readings for the year, and it just gives readings on a theme for each day of the year. And another one that I've been enjoying that came in the post, actually, I think in December, but I just started it in January, is a new London Institute of Contemporary Christianity book called 40 Faces, 40 Places, and a Devotional Journey. And it simply gives the story of some very ordinary people, an ordinary person each day, as it were, if you wanted to do it on a daily basis, which I don't, I just do it occasionally. And it gives you a little bit of their story, and then it gives you a small passage to read, and then a short meditation. You get people like someone who's an onion farmer, someone who's works on the social media platform TikTok, somebody who's just looking through is a trustee for two charities, just ordinary people. I found that very challenging, actually, and helpful. These are the kind of short times that I have. Why do I take time to read the scriptures? Lots of reasons, of course, but I'd like to illustrate one reason by sharing an experience I had just this month, if I can, earlier this month. I hope you don't mind a personal experience. I've been thinking about my future at this stage of my life. Should I downsize? Where should I go? What if I got ill and unable to look after myself? These kind of thoughts have been very much in my mind. I think the future in older age can seem very scary. And I remember a friend of mine saying, old age is not for wimps. And I really think I'm beginning to appreciate that. Well, the beginning of this new year, as I've been thinking about these things yet again, and one morning in particular, these thoughts were in my mind, to such an extent, really, to be honest, that I felt I couldn't concentrate on 1 Corinthians with my Bible reading. So I decided I'd just read the passage for the day in this little book, Every Day with Jesus. It would be easy to do. Wouldn't require too much thinking. This is what I read, and it was that very day. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. The God who made my way safe, he will be our guide forever. Well, I couldn't have had anything more appropriate to what I was thinking about and kind of puzzling over and being a bit concerned about that morning. What an encouragement to me. Just the reassurance that I needed of God's guidance and help as I think things through, pray about them. What promises there were there. Why do I take time to read the Bible? That's one of many reasons. I need God's word. I need it to bring the reality of belonging to God back into perspective, into my life, with all the encouragement and challenges that that brings. And I need this regularly. If I'm going to live the way God wants me to live, God doesn't want me to live in worry and anxiety and fear. And that was a reminder to me. I don't want you to do that. Trust me. And as you think and pray, I'll guide you. And it lifted the load for me. That's just one reason why I feel it's very much worth the effort and worth taking the time.
Thanks, Dorothy, and thanks to the others who have helped us with our worship this morning. I just want to go over a few things that I have here that may help people in their Bible reading. As I sort of surveyed the church, I got lots of different ideas, and I hope to collate these ideas and maybe put them on the welcome desk, so that there's maybe things that you can take that might give you ideas.
If your Bible reading's in a rut, change it. There are lots of books out there, lots of materials that you can use. And the suggestions that I had range from a tea room where you can go to, they've got a bookshop, and you can have your lunch. And I think Shirley Scott might take you if you're buying her lunch. Yeah, that's fine. There are book companies, the Bible Society, Scripture Union, 10 of those, which is a book that company that gives out, that sells really good books. And there are lots of apps for your phone. So I'll try and collate some of these and maybe have them for next week. I've already shown you Bible in a Year, which is there and will be up at the back. I have two of them. If anybody's interested in trying it out, you're welcome to take it. This is another book by Nikki Gumbel, and it's 30 days, and that would give you a month. Now, you'd think even I might manage a month, but, you know, however, if that's maybe too much, there's another one, 21 Reflections, and I think I could do that. This has been brought out by the Bible Society for this Easter. Now, I am an advocate of not sticking to dates. Doesn't matter. You can do Advent whenever you want. You can do Easter whenever you want. But this is 21 Reflections, and Mary said it was John's Gospel that spoke to her heart all these years ago and still does today. These are readings in John's Gospel, and it is simply the story of the cross and the story of Easter. So please take take anything on that table that you feel would help you. And let's think about maybe relaunching our Bible reading this month. I think January is a rubbish month for starting anything new, because you're still Christmas and New Year and things. You know, this week marks the 1st of February. So if you like to start things at the start of a month, there you are. Next week is your ideal opportunity. So please take time, have a wee look at the bookstop. Dougie will be manning it at the back. And if there's anything that you want him to order, or if everything goes, he will order it for you. I don't think we have time for our final hymn, but I would just like to read the words of one verse as a prayer. So let's pray. Lord, for that word, the word of life, which fires us, speaks to our hearts and sets our souls ablaze, teaches and trains, rebukes us and inspires us. Lord of the word, receive your people's praise. Indeed, Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken through your word and that you have spoken through your Son. And as we go out into this week, may we be armed with your word in our hearts and with your Spirit and with the Lord Jesus. For we ask all this in his name. Amen. Amen.